everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. It's the third goddamn episode of the first goddamn episode of Freak Show. Hey, I'm here with Slow Beef and Miss Shadow Lovely. Hey, gang. So we're already on like part three, right? So we should just really get to cooking, huh? I guess I'll say, hey, this is part three of us talking about the first episode, because the first episode is obscenely long and probably should have been two episodes. but if you're listening to this first, hey, this is part three. You should go back to the first one. I know you're going to be like, but Ty, it's only one episode of TV. How is there 3 hours of podcast? I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, no, this, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're all sorry for different reasons.
Yeah. I didn't make the show, dog. Don't come after me.
We appreciate the eagerness to listen to the pod, you know, but you got it. You're two ahead.
Yeah. Also, like, in case you're curious, like, if you're one of those people who's not watching along, like, you're just taking our word for it as we watch it, in case you're, like, wondering, like, oh, well, like, clearly they maybe, like, had too much stuff, and maybe they, like, but not quite enough to justify splitting it into two episodes, them being the show, not us. Like, and maybe that's why they made it one really long episode instead of making two separate episodes. No, there were many scenes where it's like, maybe we should have investigated that more. That was pretty fast. We kind of glossed over that pretty quickly. And one of those scenes is going to be coming up shortly.
Feels like it would be like a very normal two episodes. That's a very strange one episode.
Mm. Yeah, like and even if it was a circumstance of like, oh, well, we couldn't quite justify putting all this stuff in two separate episodes. There were some parts where they could have taken a little more time to investigate something about what was going on in the scene. They have never had any trouble padding runtime in the past. Fuck it. We have like 5 to 6 minutes of musical number coming up that we haven't even covered yet. So
we sure do. Mm. Ty's favorite thing.
Yeah. We'll get there. We are our last episode, the podcast's last episode, covered roughly about 10 minutes of television smack dab in the middle. We're on the back end of the episode, meaning we have about 30 minutes or so left of TV.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you'd be surprised. You're going to hear a lot of repeating plot beats, probably, and then some that you're going to be like, wait, what? And that's kind of the same reaction I had while watching the episode of TV. We left off,
yes.
Like, what should have absolutely, without question, been the last like scene of this episode.
Yeah.
The bookend
scene.
Reasonable
ending.
Yeah.
The perfect bookending of they start with them introducing of, whoa, I've got two heads and you might be wondering how I got here. And then this is them walking up to that exact same scene being like, well, I guess you know now know how I got here. But instead, no. Now it cuts to them sitting down, writing in their diary and like talking about how they feel.
Yeah. And by them, we mean both of the twins, which is a little confusing because they have two separate diaries, but like,
yeah,
they share hands. So like, technically they're both writing in both diaries, I would think. Also,
they are telepathically bonded.
Yeah, I was going to say, also, what's the point in having a diary when they can just read each other's minds at all times?
Yeah, I guess it's supposed to be telling us that, like, they can communicate with each other if they want to, and it's not, like, mind-reading like that, you know? But I don't know. Like, I feel like because when she talks about, like, masturbating or whatever, and the other one's like, the other one likes it, I guess. I don't know if that's a physiological thing or, like, if she is actually reading the mind. Is that the idea, I guess? I don't know.
I don't think they thought about this shit that hard. I don't think they thought about this for a goddamn minute.
Got it, one.
Yeah. So yeah, for whatever reason, they're both like, you know, having their feelings about it. And obviously the very serious one is like, I hate this shit. And the one that is very lackadaisical and whimsical is like, this is great. I love it here. They reflect on the fact that they have to, they start talking about like the different characters at the circus, and the different folks they've met. One of which they have to share is Meep the Geek, who's just a little guy who, bites the heads off chickens. And apparently like that is the entertainment, is like he just does that. It's like Ozzy Osbourne, but without like the pageantry or like the cool metal imagery leading up to it. He's just kind of like, hey, check this out. wait, don't do that. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're into this. And yeah, Jimmy Darling fucking Crab Claws McGee walks in and goes, hey, it's fine. He just gets a little worked up and bites the head off a bonus chicken once and again. Which, like, no, that's unacceptable. That's not okay.
People do not enjoy this when it's not in the circus. Also, it should be, like, noted, since you guys might not be watching along, because circuses have been known for this for a long time, American Horror Story took it as free rein to also do this unapologetically. Because they love to do like kind of unscrupulous things under the guise of, well, real people did it, so it's okay if we do it also. We're not condoning it. We're just repeating what the bad people said. Of a lot of these people that are quote unquote freaks are just people with some kind of handicap or physical abnormality.
Yeah.
And the show doesn't even like the show is trying to, and that will be the plot by the end of this episode, is like they're trying to say like, oh, we're not so different and we should be treated like people, which is true.
Yeah, but Disney's should. The Hunchback of Notre Dame covered much better, so I don't know what we're doing here, but yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, so a lot of the characters have some kind of physical abnormality or are just a woman with a beard, which is a thing that is pretty common in real life. So I don't know why they treat it so weirdly. Although, again, because unfortunately circuses have been known for this exact thing, American Horror Story is like, well, that gives us free reign to be as ableist as we want to be. And they will be. Don't worry. They absolutely fucking will be.
I don't think anyone was worried about it. We knew. Sorry, go ahead.
This show has the subtlety of that fucking Lord Farquaad meme where he's just pointing and going, white, but just like that with like whatever's on screen, just beard. Like, that's what they're doing at all times. It's ridiculous.
There's literally a character, I think, in this episode, too, who's just like, freaks, like looking at him with binoculars, but like, that's kind
of... Yeah! He like goes in the crowd and he's like, get a load of that.
And
but he's doing it like freaks, parentheses, affectionate. Like he's super into it. He's really, really into it.
I think you're supposed to like look down on what he's doing, but like they're kind of making you do it. So I don't
Also, he is like, he's super, super enthused about it. We'll get to him because he's going to definitely be a reoccurring character.
Yes.
So we went over Meep the Geek, which I'm not 100% sure what Meep the Geek's deal is.
I hate Meep. Sorry.
Yeah.
God.
He's just like, he is just a little guy. I don't think he has dwarfism. I think he's just like a little guy. I don't know what his deal is.
It's the timing doesn't work out. It's anachronistic. But Meep is a Rick and Morty character who has left the cartoon world and is on this show. Because all he does is just goes, Meep, and that's his whole thing. That's his thing. Yeah. I hate him.
And bites the head off a chicken, and then everyone's like, ugh.
Right.
And then he leaves. It sucks. Yeah.
And they let him do like, it. They're like, this is cool. This is good.
Well, that was the thing. That was like an older carnival thing. They're, geeks were people who bit the heads off live chickens. I don't know how that became a thing or
why.
Are you
like doing a bit or is that real?
No, that's real.
No, this is like a known thing. What? I regret to inform you this is a thing. It's like, check this shit out. You have to remember, Liz, they didn't have like the internet and like people couldn't read and they didn't have like TV and shit, so like life was boring. Like it was like play baseball and get hurt because we don't have good gear yet, or watch a guy bite the head off a chicken, or like ball in a cup.
For the record, like the X-Files did this like kind of freak show episode too once, and they had like a geek who was like, he bit the heads off chickens, he just ate everything. And the monster was a carnival thing, and spoiler for this one episode of X-Files, the geek eats it at the end, and that's what resolves everything. Weird time.
Hell yeah. Anyway. That's crazy. That's so wild. I had no idea. I thought, yeah. I mean, I figured geek was like an old timey, like, not slur, but like a name you would call people. Cause like a lot of names we call people now are just like old timey words for something we called people back in the day. But like, I had no idea it was that specifically.
Yeah.
It's like, it's one of those things that if you're like a reasonable human being in 2024, you would like never even imagine that as a possibility, right, of a form of entertainment. It's like below gladiatorialism. Like, I'd rather like watch a guy fight a lion than like that shit. Like, no thanks, man.
Well, because that takes at least some skill. I'd argue that biting the head off a chicken is fairly low risk. Yeah.
But like, I want to see a guy bite the head off a lion. Now we're talking. Get in there.
But it's like, it's weird too, because like you have to work with somebody who's like has dwarfism, and it's just like, okay, you both are in the circus, and it's like, this is fucked up for both of you for different reasons. This is so horrible. What were we thinking? Like, what monsters? But
that's so cool. So that's Meep the Geek then. Jimmy Darling is the lobs is Evan Peters with the lobster claws who fingers women. And he's like, don't worry, Dot and Bet. That's just a Meep. He's just all worked up. For some reason, they love letting Evan Peters have that accent in particular. Mm-hmm. I think maybe it's one of the only ones he can do, because they try to make him do like a British accent in one of the seasons, and it's bad.
Was it Roanoke?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was Roanoke. No,
yeah, he does in Roanoke, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah.
And yeah, and then we're introduced to Kathy Bates' character, Ethel, the bearded lady, who is apparently mean to them, or at least like very, very strict.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's like randomly malforming through multiple accents over the course of her time in this first episode. It's unclear. Like, it starts off as kind of like Scottish immigrant in Chicago for 3 to 7 years, and then it like kind of like vaguely falls off into just like,
there's some Midwestern Southern in there. There's like a little Midwestern, yeah, a little Southern, like there's like a little Canadian in there. It's like she just was like, I'm gonna do the most confusing accent, that way no one can say I'm doing it wrong. I'm just gonna do all of them, that way if someone says I'm doing it wrong, they won't be correct.
And they won't. I feel like Kathy Bates was testing them, you know, just like, I'll see what I can get away with if they're like afraid to say anything to me because I'm Kathy Bates on their Ricky Dick horror show or something. But
as they should be, afraid, yeah, to say anything to Kathy Bates.
I would.
At least this time she's not playing like a real life serial killer, I guess. So that's
cool.
That's, yeah, good. She hasn't, and yeah, she hasn't been racist yet, so that's also good. I do like when Kathy Bates doesn't have to play a weird racist lady.
It's time for the crew to advertise that we have a criminal with us that they want.
This is always good for business.
Tremendously head-ass move by the gang. Like, this is kind of the whole crux of why what's-her-name's plan was just dog shit from the word go. Yeah, it's like, I'm just gonna kidnap the number one and number two suspect for this murder at the same time, and then also broadcast to the cops, hey, we've got, yeah, we took her, she's here, you can come check her out, $20. Like, it's just really not, like, and she's like, the twins, they will bring us in value for 100 years, 100 years of value for a circus, and it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? They're gonna come pick her up tonight and be like, to jail with you. And that's it.
No.
So anyway, these dumb idiots are, it's Jimmy out here with a guy with a lot of tattoos who, why'd you have to put his name in the notes? Because now I have to read it, and now I have to say it out loud. Yeah, Paul the Illustrated Seal, who's just a guy in a funny bowler cap who has a lot of tattoos.
That was another thing in sideshows, strangely, was like, this guy's got a lot of ink. It's like, yeah, all right, well, you
it's
know.
It's crazy because, like, I guess. That's a choice. Like, you can choose not to have tattoos. You don't have to be this.
Does he at least bite the heads off chickens? Well, sometimes, you know, if you get a double act, then sure, you know.
I want to say Paul the Illustrated Seal is missing an arm, maybe? I think, also? And maybe he just, like, leaned into it. He's like, oh, I'm already missing an arm. So I'll just get a bunch of tattoos and join the circus, I guess.
Elsa's like, no, I'm sorry. You're an amputee, and I feel bad, but you're not enough to be... How about if I get tattoos? Like... How many are we talking? It just like goes from there. It's like a big negotiation.
Yeah. And then the last one, which is just a tall lady. Just a tall lady named Amazon Eve. That's it. That was enough to get you in the circus back in the day. Just be a lady over 6 foot tall, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
Yeah, now it just like gets you like... Maybe on a volleyball team if you're good.
Maybe on a TikTok. Like,
That's about it.
Yeah, women's like, basketball, maybe. You can,
like, if you're in the Midwest, basketball. Yeah, that's like another good option. Yeah, and so they're putting up a banner for the twins, and I think Paul is just like, hey, this seems really fucking stupid for the reasons that were stated, and Jimmy's just like, shut up. They do it anyway.
They're like on the road doing this too. They're on like the main road setting up banners for the twins, which by the way, in the last scene, Ethel, Kathy Bates, was like, oh yeah, the girls being the twins are our only hope. I'm like, you guys are very confident that people want to see conjoined twins. Like, I think even back then, I think people would have been more hype about like Meep the Geek than conjoined twins. Like, conjoined, I don't know, everybody did throw up in the hospital when they saw them, I guess, so who could say?
And so we get a flashback of Elsa just being like, Jimmy, it's fine. We're just going to lie to the cops about the twins. And it's like, what do you mean you're going to lie to... Like, they'll show up and they'll look and they'll be like, yeah, that's them. Like, what are you... what's the end game here, Elsa? And there isn't one. Yeah, Paul just kind of does a little jaunty suspender snap and gets told, hey, you know, it's fine. Keep your chin up. It'll be fine. What do the cops know? And then some teens are just like, fuck you, weirdo, and throw a beer bottle at him. And that's it.
Ta-da. Yeah, cool. And they call them freaks. Like, they call them freaks, but like they're advertising a freak show. So is that really an own? That'd be like driving past people playing basketball and being like, basketball players. Like, okay, you have eyes, I guess.
Who's
like,
ballers?
I will say, for what it's worth, if I'm in a tournament and I run by an area and go, smash players, that is derogatory.
Yeah, same energy brought to the teens in the car chucking a beer bottle. Yeah. Because this is American Horror Story, we can't go even one episode without someone getting sexually assaulted. Luckily, I'm saying luckily with air quotes, they get it out of the way in episode one of this season. And it's not like explicitly shown like it has been previously. Mm. I'm looking at you, season 3 and season 2 and season 1. This is kind of shown through a silent film that Elsa is watching later at night, and like Ethel's...
They're trying to like give the idea of like it, and the feel of it being like an opium dream or like an opium like kind of episode or something where it's like a half remembered haze kind of thing, and they're like trying to give you that feeling by cutting in and out of a silent film repeatedly. But it's just really weird. It's also running at weird speeds. It's, yeah, it's nothing.
I couldn't tell. I don't think it is, but there's a movie we will be talking about at one point called Freaks, a 1933 movie. It's like kind of an infamous film buff movie. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's watching that, though, because I don't think that was silent. I think there is a soundtrack to that. But it's like,
it is.
She's watching footage of Penny, nurse, who was there being sexually assaulted.
It is actually like footage of it. But for some reason, someone filmed it, and she's just kind of like watching it while enjoying a martini or something. Mm-hmm. They like had dinner.
Yeah, the idea is that, like, Penny came out and is, like, just kind of snapping to and being like, I need to leave here and I need to tell people what you fucking people did to me and that kind of thing. And then, Yeah, and then Elsa's just like, no, you had a good time. Look, see, I have footage of you having a good time. Are you going to claim this wasn't a good time? And it's like they were recording it as like a blackmail thing. But it, again, it just kind of like... It's a weird element that I don't know what purpose it's.
That's the thing.
Like, you could have just cut this penny line. Look, if they wanted to make this shit one episode and they wanted to keep it under an hour, I know what part I would cut, and it's this one.
Yeah. Also, yeah, the ideas that like she. In case you guys have forgotten, because it's been two of our episodes, Penny was the nasty nurse that let Elsa into the hospital in the first place. The kind of like reckless and loose nurse who said she would smother a baby. They have enough in the fact that Elsa has her like addicted to opium now. That is enough incentive that the assault and the video of the assault is like unnecessary. It's like, oh, you got her hooked on opium. That's like enough incentive right there. Yeah. You don't need more.
You're not shitty enough, right? Well, here you go. We got, you know, yeah, it's
Yeah. So they got Penny addicted to opium and also filmed her like participating in an orgy that she can't remember. And I guess that's our incentive for Penny, for her to stick around, which she does. I know what happens with her character.
Which I'll also just say, if you're going to do like a bunch of weird crimes and like sex crimes and drug crimes and things like that, you probably don't want to go kidnap, for example, the number one and number two suspects in a recent murder and then advertise that you have them. That feels like a really... So there's this concept called probable cause, right? It's hard to imagine more of a probable cause other than we took someone you explicitly had under arrest and in like custody, and we just took them and we're advertising that we took them. I don't know. Like, literally, that would be like me walking up to a cop and being like, I have cocaine in my butthole right now. And then like being
like
mad
check?
That I got arrested.
It's like, hey, if you get a warrant, worst case scenario, you're going to get something. You know, like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they'll just walk in and be like, lots of opium in here, huh?
Yeah.
Like, how about that?
Watch some of these videos? Oh, okay. Let's not worry about the murder, actually, for a little bit.
I love recording evidence of my crimes. Anyway, Slow Beef, did you get that text about the big deal I sent you?
Yeah. So, That's Penny's introduction to the circus. Penny like tries to leave. She obviously gets stopped. And now we get to meet a new character that we have not met yet, and that's Pepper, played by Naomi Grossman. Pepper is, I know for a fact, Naomi Grossman does not have like any kind of physical abnormality, so they have just kind of done her up in prosthetics to look weird, I guess. I don't know what they're going for with her. They just want her to look strange.
We got into this in season two, which is our season, what, four, I think, of the podcast, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm remembering, am I getting my math right, or am I doing that stupid?
No, you're right, I think.
Yeah, okay. And yeah, because, so, you know, if you want to, you know, listen to more of our episodes, of course, you can learn a lot about Pepper there, because she is a recurring character. From season two, where she was in an asylum. And because this takes place earlier, of course, now we're seeing where Pepper came from, you know, and what, like, more of her life and all that, you know?
But. Yeah.
Wait, this is supposed to be the same character?
Yes. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Correct. Whatever.
Yeah, correct.
Fine. It's going to get more annoying because you know they're going to be like, you know, here's let's connect things.
Already a three-parter. I don't have time to get into Pepper being here.
Yeah.
If I like, I'm pulling from memory here. I don't have the notes from that season up, but if I remember correctly, the reason why Pepper was in the asylum was because allegedly she cut the ears off of her sister's baby.
She killed her sister's baby, baby Lucas. Yeah. And yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was the if you're looking for a way to tie this together, just stay tuned. We'll see where that goes. So that's Pepper. She's back. I know everybody was super excited for that. They didn't explain it in Asylum, and they're not going to explain it here. Like, what's quote-unquote wrong with her? We will not get an answer. she is carrying Ma Petite, which is the world's smallest woman. That's not me doing a bit. That's who she is in real life and in the
show.
She's
a very tiny lady. Yeah,
full-grown adult woman who is the size of an infant being treated like an actual baby, which is super weird. She seems cool with it in the show. She's just fully vibing. And I mean, I guess, you know what?
Get that bag, gamer.
Yeah, that's exactly,
I mean, I would too. If I was the size of a baby and someone was like, all right, you don't got to pay taxes or anything, and we'll just carry you around, and be like, hell yeah. So, like, good for her, I guess. She just gets to chill and get carried around.
You don't have to pay taxes. I love that that's where you're like, I don't have to do shit for paperwork if people think I'm a baby. You're right, though. You're so right. Like, you don't got to do a goddamn lick of paperwork if everyone's like, that's a baby.
Yeah, do I look like boss baby to you? I think not. Do not make me write my name or learn cursive. Absolutely not.
Her accountants just can be like, we'll put down acting. Leave it at that.
And then fully grown adult woman baby tells Elsa that a man in a car bought the entire circus out. We'll get to meet him in just a second. And then Elsa's like, Penny, if you stay here, I'll give you more drugs. And Penny's like, okay. And now it's time for Lobster Boy's backstory, kind of. He's in his trailer and he's talking to Ethel, the bearded lady, who is his mom. Ethel, darling. And she's like, how'd the finger blasting party go? And he's like, I made $18. And she's like, only $18? And he's like, yeah, one lady finished so fast, I felt bad charging a full price. And I'm like, I feel like that means you did, like, extra good.
Honestly,
right?
Yeah, I think at that point you get, like, a bonus.
Yeah,
if it's just like, if it's like, damn, sorry, I'm good at what I do.
You know, I gotta tell you, though, you know what? I think my next line, if I were Kathy Bates' character, would have been is like, okay, what did I say about including all that detail, son? Like, you know, I don't need to hear about my kid finger blasting all these women at a party. Just tell me you made the money. We're all good. Thank you. But anyway.
Yeah, they're past that, I guess.
I guess.
And he's like, I don't like having to lead through back doors. I want to be a real sex worker, not a fake sex worker. And Ethel blames TV for that, I guess. I don't know what the correlation between those two things are. I guess acting has made
it...
I guess actors have made it less viable to be
now
a
that
circus
gloves
person.
Are socially acceptable. Now that anyone can just wear gloves whenever after motorcycles became cool.
Yeah. These dildos are going to put me out of business. These new vibrators they got. Man, can't work.
And then Jimmy's like, I don't want to be at the circus no more, Ma. Everybody here's a drunk and I want out. And then Ethel's like, no, you gotta be nice. You gotta be nice to the twins because they're gonna save the circus, but don't fiddle them. Do not fiddle the twins. You cannot give them the flipper action. And she says that. She says, no flipper action. And I hate it. I hated it.
Which, like, that's like two friends would say to each other, and it would be like a little bit much between two friends, but like between mother and son, so fucking weird.
Yeah.
So fucking weird.
Now you know why it's called Freak Show, exactly.
Yeah. So Jimmy then catches a guy walking in who's like, hey, I'm arresting the twins because they're the number one and number two suspects in a very recent murder case. And I'm pretty sure they're the ones killing everybody, which is stupid. You know, that doesn't really make sense. But what he's like, there's two of them, so they're doing twice as many murders as a normal murderer. He's like, that's not anything.
The opposite of how it works. Yeah, actually, if you think about it. But
it would have to be like they wanted to murder bad enough that it got through two willpowers.
Yeah.
You know, like it should be less. Yeah. So then Jimmy, he doesn't say, hey, Rube, but that's what he does. He whistles in a way. The thing is, like, American Horror Story is not willing to fully lean in on some of the, like, circus mythos stuff, and they want to be, like, spooky and mysterious. So they have him, like, kind of whistle in a weird way, and then everybody slowly shows up and starts beating the shit out of him because that's, again, the idea of, like, it's just like, hey, Rube is something you yell if you're in, like, serious danger and you need everybody to fucking jump someone. And, like, that's what he does. They jump the detective. Or they don't even jump him. They just like kind of like stare him down a bit. And then the detective is like, you're all a bunch of freaks. And then Jimmy's like, okay. And then grabs like a razor and just slits his throat, which is,
I can't believe he called us that. Yeah.
Yeah, two for two on Jimmy getting tilted about being called a freak while he works in the freak show, surrounded by people who self-identify as freaks.
Yeah. You've also now escalated from, you know, some strange variation of drugging someone, kidnapping, sex trafficking. You've also now taken the number one and number two suspects for a very recent murder, and you've now committed a murder of a police officer. So, like,
it'll be fine. I'm sure it's fine.
Is Elsa okay with this? Is Elsa like this? Is Elsa like, great, thanks, just what I wanted. The circus that's right on the edge, you know, just what we need.
I'm going to have to give so many blowjobs now.
I'm gonna be finger banging the entire police force. It's going to be a whole thing.
All right.
Okay. Now we know why this episode was so long. Am I right? So that's the end of the police officer that we met for all of 35 seconds. They like built him up. They gave him a name and a fedora and like a characterization. He's gone though, like immediately. And then Jimmy
Freeze.
He was
one day from retirement. Sorry.
Yeah, a real Leon Kennedy situation. Yeah, Jimmy like frees the twins and is like, you guys are going to save this circus. And I'm like, great. And now it's time for the circus.
Hey, I did a murder for you. You owe me now. Like, it's like, yeah, really, actually, like, right? I didn't ask for this, ma'am. Like, hey, you can't put that shit on me. I didn't agree to this.
That's not a good thing.
Yeah, like, he's just like, yeah, this is good, right? You like this? We have your back. And it's like, I didn't want you to kill that guy.
Now I look really guilty, actually. Like,
holy shit, yeah. Like, there's not a court. Even if we didn't do it, there isn't a court that would let us go now. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Lobster Boy.
Now it's fair if you do twice the life sentences. See, I helped. Like, oh.
Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. Like, it's like the worst move. And he really is. He's just like, see, we can stick together, family. And it's like, no.
We're all in this together because you all witnessed me do a crime. So now we're all in this as one. It's circus time. It's nighttime and it's circus time. And a rich old lady named Gloria Mott, played by the delightful Frances Conroy, also known as Myrtle from the last season, and Moira, the old version from the first season, and the Angel of Death.
The Angel of Death.
Love her. Oh, yeah. She's now a rich old lady who has one special little guy, her son. His name is Dandy, and holy shit. His name is Dandy, and the way that his name sounds, imagine a little lad, a dandy boy. Yeah, a little lad who loves berries and cream, but he's like 35 years old, and also looks like an Abercrombie and Fitch model. This is Finn Wittrock's introduction to American Horror Story. If you watch the show, you know who I'm talking about. He's a reoccurring actor from this point on. I want to say, wasn't he in Roanoke? Oh, yeah. I don't remember. He was in one of, or not Roanoke, Colt. I think he was in Colt.
I know he was in 1984, right?
Yes, but he's definitely in 1984.
Yeah, he's one of the main,
And he's definitely in Hotel. But yeah, right. Finn Wittrock will be a reoccurring actor from this point on. This was his debut as Dandy.
I kind of like Dandy, I'll be honest with you.
I love Dandy. He's rules. A freak, like in a not like circus way.
Yeah.
Like, he's a character that I want to be all in. And, like, he is embodying a character named Dandy. Like, this MF is Dandy. Yeah. For sure. Like, he's in, like, I can't remember if it's, like, a pure white suit or just, like, a very light cream suit or something. But it's just the kind of thing of, like, why would you wear this to a circus? What the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah. It's, like, that kind of thing of just, like, that's for a wedding, you little weirdo.
Yeah, that's, like, he's got issues, and his mother, who's been babying him, including into his, like, 30s and 40s, has issues, too. And it's, like, Yeah, they're interesting characters. I like Dandy especially, but I think Gloria plays like is a good like counterpart or whatever to him, mm-hmm. you know. So
I would go as far as to say if you are not watching along, just Google Dandy American Horror Story to see an image, because the second you lay eyes on the first image that will come up, you'll be like, oh yeah, that motherfucker is named Dandy. Guy's Dandy Mott from American Horror Story, no question. So they're like very rich, obviously, and they bought out the whole circus so that Dandy could watch it, because he is a little freak who loves watching other freaks, mm-hmm. I guess. And they're sitting next to each other, obviously, because they're mother and son. And he does like a weird power play where he's like, I don't want you to sit next to me, and makes his mom move over one seat. And then he's like, I'm going to sit in your seat now. And then he sits in it and he's like, this seat's warm. And she's like, mother made it toasty for you. And that's going to be their dynamic for the rest of the show.
Oh, Dandy, welcome to the circus. And I love it. I love Francis Conroy doing that bit. It's great.
Me too. They have such a weird fucking strange dynamic, and I love it. He's getting a little agitated because the show hasn't started yet.
Mommy, I need the show. Mommy, where's the show? And she's like, calm down or you'll give yourself a rash, young man.
You'll
and he's like,
rash,
but I like getting worked up. I love getting a little excited.
I can't wait for
the show
freaks.
Starts. Yeah, and he pulls out his little opera binoculars, despite the fact that they bought out the circus and he could just go sit in the front. He's a little fucking weirdo.
Awesome.
So he pulls out his little binoculars and goes, oh, freaks.
He's so
cool.
I think
they used that in the advertising too. Like, you would just see a commercial where he, like, it would be him in the binoculars going, freaks. And it was like, wait, what? Like,
I love that the weirdest, most off-putting character so far has not been the murder clown, is not any of the people in the freak show. It is just a little guy, a full-grown man who is also a special little guy named Dandy. He embodies the most gremlin-like energy of anybody thus far, and he's not even in the circus. Real,
like, the way he's got that, like, simmering right below the surface, like, this guy's into some weird sex shit. It's like, that energy is fucking outrageous off the, like, props to the actor. He really gives off the, like, I don't ever want to look at your computer. Like, that kind of vibes.
Yeah. So Ethel, again, Kathy Bates, comes out and she, like, is like, the show, here, welcome to the show. Here's the show. And then she, like, introduces everybody one at a time. And then the twins, and Dandy is fucking loving it. He is having a blast. It is great. And then he, like us, have a deflated sigh as we are forced to watch Elsa perform the entirety of the song Life on Mars, which lasts roughly 4.5 minutes, which, to Jessica Lange's credit, she sells the hell out of this scene. If this was the final scene of the episode and the buildup would have been different, I think this could have been a fine, if it was like 2 minutes shorter, it would have been, I think, a fine end of the episode, because like,
it feels really long in an episode that's already kind of dragging. It's like,
if they put credits over it, I would have been like, okay, that was a strong ending, or you know what I mean? Like, they should have done it before.
And I'm also thinking, when this first broadcasted, this was probably like a 2-hour broadcast with ads, right?
I think so.
So there's a chance, like, either this was led into with ads or this was led out of with ads, which would have pissed me off so much I would have lost my mind. If I had watched this live and it was like 4 minutes of this and then a 3-minute ad break, I'd be like, I'm leaving. I'm done. I'm sorry. I can't. I've wasted 7 minutes of my fucking time. Like, I'm sorry.
So I do not remember 100% because it's been so long, but I do remember, I think I said either in our first episode or at the last episode of our last season, that Freak Show was actually where I stopped watching American Horror Story, because I, after like the intro to it, I was like, this is doing nothing for me, I'm not interested in this, and then I eventually later, like years later, came back to it and finished it, but I want to say now, like, especially watching it with a critical eye, I think part of the reason why I, like, immediately burnt out on it was because of how fucking long the first episode was. I think I was like, so much.
It's a lot.
And so boring.
Like, they're not even introducing all the characters in the season that we're gonna, like, are gonna be, like, recurring and all that. Like, they're not done by it, but they're introduced a lot, and it's just, like, exhausting.
So, like, the one thing that's kind of weird for me, and it might be because of just there's been, like, a bunch of activity in this space, so I'm thinking about it, is, like, this doesn't feel like it was paced like a network show. It almost feels like it was paced more for streaming, where they were planning on having it be just like one big 40-minute block with like one big blowout, like, you know, cliffhanger at the end of it that then led into the next part that then had a big blowout cliffhanger at the end of it with like a little bit of a musical thing. Because again, if this was broken into two parts, it would feel like so much more reasonable. And if it was two parts without ads, it almost might be okay. But as one part, especially with ads, dude, I would have been going crazy. Like, this is nuts.
I feel like this was, like, when the show... I think Coven was probably the peak of its popularity, if I'm not mistaken.
I would agree.
So, like, I feel like this is still, like, if they're riding high, so it's, like, the two-hour premiere of Season 4 American Horror Story Freak Show. You know what I mean? Where it's, like... Do you think, like, the audience has a taste for it because it's, like, a really popular show and the previous, like, really popular season ended? But I, by the way, like Liz, I also, I think I kind of fell off here and revisited much later.
The show, everyone loved the show when it was, like, a tight, compact, well-thought-out package with, like, enough budget, but, you know, not too much budget. So what if we made something that wasn't any of that? Would you think they'd like it then?
I think everyone would love it. Who could say whether or not it would make people stop watching after episode one? That's never been proven.
Especially not twice in the last 4 minutes.
So I will say again, so Elsa comes out and sings Life on Mars. This is actually, again, I hate that it's so long, but I don't hate the musical number because even though we're only watching Elsa singing, it does add some character, like, depth to Elsa because, like, you can see that, like, when she's performing this, like, she's obviously a performer who, like, and this is clearly why she's running a circus is because she wants to be able to perform and she's given herself a way to do that by running a circus. So, like, it does give some depth to her kind of weird character that we haven't really understood motivations for, even though she's just singing a song. And Jessica Lange sells the hell out of this scene. She does a great job. It just, A, should be the final scene of the episode, which it's not. Spoiler.
And like 90 seconds.
And like 90 seconds.
It could
have
been like a beautiful 90 seconds. Yeah, or they it could have been an incredible 90-second sequence.
They could have shown us a little bit more during that sequence, like maybe a flashback or just something. It could have been something. That is to say, what I'm saying is I'm not justifying the full musical number because, God, it is so long in an already excruciatingly long
episode. But no, it serves a purpose. You're right. You're
fine.
Absolutely
this
right.
This is the first musical number they have done in this show that I'm like, okay, well, at least it makes sense why she's doing this. It makes sense why this character is singing right now. I hate that we have to sit through the whole thing, but it makes sense why this character is singing.
You're showing us... Yeah, you're showing us, like, the kind of tragic flaw of Elsa and why she is willing to do this and, like, what she really wants out of all of this. Yeah, and, like, that works. It's just, it takes too long and it's too much of lingering shots and repeating lingering shots. Yeah.
So many, so many. And it's just, like, again, it is mostly just her singing. During this, Dandy has a very similar... reaction to, I'm sure, what most of us were feeling, which is he gets up and fucking leaves. and since he's one of the only two people in the audience, Elsa can clearly see him do this and starts to have a panic attack because he has left. And he's the only person watching the show.
And, like, truly, if anyone is wondering, like, in universe, without the, you know, vignetting effects of Elsa's, you know, perception of the event, it would just really be, like, subpar karaoke that he's being forced to sit through, which is not a thing most people pay to do. Most people endure it so that they get their turn karaoke.
Or even still, like, I would go even a step further. It's not even just, like, enduring karaoke. It's enduring karaoke when you came to, like, a comedy show. Because, like, he came to see a circus, and now a lady is singing at him that is not a circus lady. She's just a lady, and she's singing. So she is essentially like giving him something he did not ask for and like wouldn't even reasonably have expected going to the circus. So he's upset, right. Rightfully.
This is the carnival equivalent of traffic, yeah. So yeah. It's just like, all right.
And he hates it, so he leaves. And then afterwards, he actually doesn't like fully leave the circus. He just storms backstage, and he's like, I got to talk to those conjoined twins. And Elsa's like, oh, hey, dude, who left the audience? Can you leave my like conjoined twins alone? And he's like, I want to buy them. And she's like, what? $10,000 for both of them, which back then I'm sure was like $1 million or something.
Sure, yeah. Right.
And then Gloria, who doesn't understand how negotiating works, pops in and is like, we'll give you $15,000. And I'm like, she didn't ask for 10 for each of them. She asked for 10 for both of them. That's not how haggling
it's
works.
Really... Yeah, like, I think the idea was it was supposed to be Elsa saying, like, even 10,000 wouldn't be enough for these two because they're going to save the circus. And then she says 15,000. Then reasonably, Elsa's just like, well, we'll ask if they want to stay. And they're like, yeah, we don't want to be sold. Hey, come on. Yeah. Like, yeah, we don't want that.
Also, I don't know if you can do this. I don't know that you have any, like, power over us to sell us.
I don't think this is in the employment contract. Yeah. I'm sure we, yeah. Bearded Lady HR didn't go over this, right?
Yeah like, so. At most, Elsa could be like, oh, well, we'll turn you over to the police. But I fucking doubt you're going to do that, given that Jimmy just murdered a policeman. So, like, really, I'm not sure what, like, selling power Elsa thinks she has over the twins.
It turns out, really, like, just murdering a policeman out of nowhere throws a wrench in the whole shit.
Yeah.
Like, just in general, like, you shouldn't do that unless you, like, really have to. Like, look, I get it. You don't like cops. I feel that. But, like, there's, like, you gotta think before you go killing cops, Jimmy.
Especially when you've got the lobster fingers and everyone knows you because you made that one lady come so fast that it was, like, she almost got her money back.
Better hope she's a judge.
I was going to say, like, you don't even need to, like, dust or bring a magnifying glass for this fool's fingerprints. You just, like, look at him and you're like, yep.
One big fingerprint wrapped around the knife.
Yep, that's him.
So Gloria's like, whatever, I need to go home and bathe away that dog shit singing. And then somewhere else in the circus, I know what you guys are all wondering, what's Twisty the Clown been getting up to? Well, he's at the circus somewhere else. No one notices him or anything. He's just like there and he's riding the carousel and he's having like a good time. Good for him. He's like, you know where I can go hang out and no one will question that I'm here? The circus. I'm going to go hang out at the circus. And he does. And he has a lovely time. And I'm so happy for him. And then it fades to black. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, finally, the episode is over. No, it's not. We still have 10 minutes left. It's still nighttime. And we have at least one more scene to get through. They being everybody in the circus, is having like
time,
a weird parade.
American Horror Story to do their favorite thing. And yeah, have a funeral procession for someone or a we're about to kill you procession for someone. It's like a thing they like doing of everybody having a procession. Just no real reason. Because they're getting rid of the dead detective's body, but they're also not just like cutting it up into chunks and like burying it with quicklime spread out over a small area. They're just like holding a funeral, I guess.
So it's funny that Slow Beef brought up the movie Freaks, the 1930s movie Freaks, because I had like, it's not that I had repressed the movie Freaks, like I've seen the movie Freaks, and it's not as traumatizing as this show, but like I had not thought about what they might have ripped from Freaks in this show. And almost the funeral procession, I think, could probably be attributed to Freaks. That whole, like, the whole gooble gobble scene. Now that Freaks has been mentioned, and now that we're having this weird procession,
Spoiler,
this feels very gooble gobble, one of us. I think.
Spoiler alert. They rip a lot more from Freaks as this season goes on.
That's so cool.
Yeah. As a very brief thing on it, because you can read about Wikipedia, it's one of those like movies. I think it's like maybe one of the earliest kind of horror movies. Mm-hmm. Not the earliest for sure, but like it's infamous because it was 96 minutes long in its original cut, and test audiences and such back in the 30s thought it was so grotesque that they cut it to 64. No uncensored version of it exists. They think the original footage was just lost. It's about a carnival freak show, and it's definitely not as respectful to the actors who are, you know, who actually have these like ailments and deformities and what have you. But it's like one of those like infamous kind of movies, and they steal a bunch from it in this season. But anyway,
if you thought a show from the 2010s that's about something that happened in the 1950s was disrespectful, then do I have great news about the movie from the 1930s?
Yeah.
But also, those MFers like screamed and ran out of a theater because they saw a picture of a train getting closer. So what the fuck do they know about being afraid? Stupid idiots. Who cares?
So true.
The moral.
Oh my god, yeah, that hot dog has ketchup on it. Get over it.
Well, the 1930s. The moral is they're just like us, but they are kind of gross. You know, like it's just, I don't know, guys.
They can be people, but they're on thin ice. That was kind of the vibe.
They can be people, and then they like mate, do that like little wiggle with the hand where you rotate it, and you know,
Yeah. Oh, at that point in time, I would say if you weren't an able-bodied white person, you had a pretty good chance of having a bad time back then. So they did not handle most things with tact.
Right.
But back to our 2010s show about 1950 whatever. They have done a weird procession for the detective, and they are burying him, and Jimmy gives him a weird eulogy for some reason, which is a bizarre thing to do for a cop you killed on impulse. And then Jimmy gives a little speech. He's like, if anybody calls you a freak or a monster, you should just kill him like I killed this cop when he called us freaks, even though we're part of what is called a freak show by choice.
He said, yeah, like he said that, and they look behind him like, I thought we changed the sign. Anyway.
It's always happening. Everybody's always drunk. Then he says, to the worms. As though he says that like we're supposed to know what that is.
We're sending them. Send them down, boys.
Yeah, like he says to the worms. Like that's anything. Like that's his catchphrase or something. And then that's like their signal to all start stabbing his body. And I'm like, but he's dead though. Like, why are we
also
stabbing
like
him more?
Yeah, that's not how you, like, dispose of a body. You don't just, like, put a bunch more holes in it. Yeah, you, like,
boys.
Put it into look, I don't need to implicate myself by describing how to get rid of a body, but it's not by stabbing a guy a bunch. That I can tell you. It doesn't just despawn the corpse if you put too many holes in it.
Well, if you put enough holes, then the body just becomes one big hole, and that means they cease to
it's
be.
It's like negative space.
Yeah.
What's DNA? Well, anyway, Twisty is watching this from a distance, and he's like, oh, these motherfuckers know about To the Worms, my favorite game. I can't wait to join them next time.
These motherfuckers know about To the Worms? These are my kind of people. Hell yeah.
A worm? I'm over there. I gotta talk to these fools.
I'm so happy for Twisty. I'm glad he's having a good time. Ethel shows up to tell Elsa that, hey, the twins? Sick idea. I think it's going to be good. I don't even remember why Ethel does that. And Elsa is smoking opium and is crying. And she's like, Ethel, you're my best and only friend. And I only brought the girls here so that people would watch me sing. And it's like, yeah, man, we all know it was super obvious and not a secret for even a second. The fact you dedicated the first 6 minutes of the circus to you singing kind of made it like pretty clear. It made it pretty obvious, if we're being honest. I don't think anybody had any question as to whether or not that was your intention or not. And she's like, Ethel, you're my best friend. Leave me. And then she turns on a record player and sits in her tent sadly, where she starts to remove like her nightgown pieces. And then we see the big twist at the end of the episode, which is that she's taking off her prosthetic legs. Ooh, is this anything?
Wow.
It might be the fact that I worked in like orthopedic surgery for a while, you know, so like I've seen a lot of people with prosthetic legs or whatever, but it like took me until reading through your notes to be like, oh, that was supposed to be a thing.
It doesn't feel like it, right? Like, it feels
she
like
she has prosthetic legs. Like, yeah, big like, whoop.
Like, it's not lobster hands. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh my gosh. You're like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's like, look, oh my God, she has a cleft lip. Like, but still. Like,
it's not like some, like, wild prosthetic either. It's not like they were like, she's got a Sekiro cannon arm. Like, it's not like something like that. Like,
which, again,
like, that'd be tight as fuck. If she, like, cracked open her knee and, like, a bazooka shot out, I'd be like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's something.
No wonder you run the freak show. Yeah, like, but this is just, I don't know.
Revisiting what how I introduced it and saying that it was the twist, like, the reason why it's a twist is because, I don't know if you can glean from context clues how we've described it, it's not obvious she has the legs until the last scene when we see them, which means they probably wouldn't be that big of a deal in real life either, because no one else is going to see them if she wears pants or a dress, which she has done in every scene until now.
And she has, like, no mobility issues whatsoever, which is usually, like, you know, if someone has a prosthetic, a lot of times they will move in, like, a slightly different way because they have to, because they're working with a different set of tools, you know?
Or especially the 1960s where we don't have, like, a droid leg, you know? This is probably just a piece of fucking wood, like,
prosthetics aren't
shoved
in. Yeah, not great.
Yeah, painted with, like, a high heel because they were, you know what I mean? And then, like, boom.
Yeah, and there's no muscle in it. There's no engine driving it, so you have to put all of that extra load on just one smaller comparatively part of your body. So it's like, yeah, it changes the way you move around. It changes your mobility a little bit.
So
none of that.
In real life, like, everyone would really know that she has the prosthetic. You know what I mean? Like, everybody at this carnival, at least, you know, like,
Or you would assume there's just, like, some other mobility issue going on. Like a nerve damage or, like, something like that. Like, yeah, and again, it's just like, yeah, people have that kind of stuff all the time. It's not a thing. It's like not a big deal.
Yeah, but exactly. that's the big twist, and that's like supposed to be where we're supposed to infer that, like, oh, that's why she's so bitter and jaded about, like, Hollywood, is because her legs keep her from being like a famous actress. And I'm like, again, if you hadn't made her like undress in front of the invisible camera, which is us, we also wouldn't have known that she had prosthetic legs, so I don't know how big of a deal that would have actually been. Just don't take a job,
especially in like the 50s or the 40s, the 30s or 40s, when she would have been like trying out for roles and stuff. They didn't like have a database because they didn't have computer,
right?
yeah
and like, I don't know, back then, like, it's God forbid, it's not like she's a conjoined twin or something. Like, I don't think that, like, they would have been like, ew, you don't have legs, you can't be an actress. Like, I think someone would have been like, oh, that's interesting, that's different, put her in a movie. Alas.
Hitchcock would have been like, hell yeah, I'm going to write some shit for this. Absolutely.
A doll
would have been going crazy.
Yeah, no gams.
We'll get you addicted, honey.
Old gamless Elsa, they call her.
Replaceable gams.
Yep. So it's been now an hour and a half, and that is finally the last scene of the episode. Again, another scene that would have been a fine last scene, and it is the last scene, graciously, I should say. However, we've already had, like, three or other scenes that should have been the last scene, so this one just feels weird, like we got DLC. What it feels like is everything that happens after she finishes singing feels like an after credit scene, which is not like a great feeling to give your audience when they're watching the regular show.
Or like it was test grouped and like they originally had the ending was like she died at the end, but everyone fucking hated it and was like, but we like that character. So they instead like rewrite another scene where like they pull up at a gravestone afterwards and it's like, oh, I'm fine. I was just very sad. That kind of thing.
So it's taken us a while, but here we are at the end of episode one of season four, Freak Show, American Horror Story. The only defining plot points that we've established is that the twins did a murder and now they're like running from the cops already. And now they've joined a circus and they're going to save that circus. And the circus is just a way for Elsa, who has prosthetic legs, and that is her character now, to be able to sing in front of people because her prosthetic legs make that impossible for some reason.
Also, the circus did a murder.
Yeah, now the circus has also done a murder. So now there's been two murders. The murder of the cop.
Plus the murders Twisty did.
Twisty
wasn't one of the circus, but he is... You know, close enough that they could conflate him easily.
You're right, Todd. You're absolutely right. I want to repeat your words just in case. Twisty is not part of the circus, but I guess it's close enough that he counts, right? I hope that doesn't come up in a weird way. Twisty
They don't actually do the thing I'm doing a bit about. This is legitimately like in fucking Sonic the Hedgehog when someone's like, that one that looks nothing like him, that's the same guy. Like that one that's like black and red, that's Sonic. I know him, the black and red one. Like
yes, but spiritually. So, you know. there's a lot about that episode I don't like. Anyway.
Yeah, I can't wait. We have so many good... Like, there are going to be, like, a couple in this season that, like, Slow Beef and I specifically are going to have to dedicate, like, 30 minutes to being mad about it. Like, in the middle of the episode.
Or, like, the worst episode in the entire series. Yeah, I'm ready
to talk about that. Yo, no fucking way. Oh, I can't wait. Now I'm soaked.
Yeah. Well, I guess everybody has that to look forward to then.
Yep.
Yeah, until next time, everyone. Thanks for listening and have a great night.
Easy.